Hello, and I hope you are well and managing to stay happy during the lockdown, which has now been extended. I want to welcome you to the Sunday school session for Ignite Kids. This one's for the 19th of April, and it's for children in reception to year six. So make sure you listen to the right one of these. Today we're going to be talking about the transfiguration and who Jesus is to us as individuals. But before we do that, let's play a little game. All right, so this time I am thinking of a job. Somebody's occupation, job, something like that. So for 5 points. You're going to try to guess which job I am thinking of. The first clue for 5 points is that this person reaches people and affects their in different countries. This job helps this person to reach people in lots of different countries. I know that's a bit hard to think what job that could be with just one clue. So the second clue is that this job uses a lot of imagination. To do this job, you need a lot of imagination. The third clue is that this job changes what people think and feel. So the person who does this job, they help to change what people think and feel. For 2 points, this job uses lots of paper and a pen in a way, So it's somebody who uses a lot of paper or pen does this job. Okay, and the final clue is that this job uses words to influence other people. A job that uses words to influence other people. So what do you think the job was that I was thinking of? If you got that the job was as a writer, then you're correct. I was thinking of a writer. Not a very easy one, this one, I don't think. But there you go. It's just a little game for fun. So just to get brains thinking before we get stuck into this. So the story of the Transfiguration, it's quite a deep thing. I mean, when I was thinking about how to structure it and what to say, I think I just felt it was necessary to really read more about what transfiguration means, because it's quite a big word and probably a new word for most of you. And I looked it up in the dictionary, what it says. The word transfiguration, it means a complete change of form or appearance into a more beautiful or spiritual state. So it's describing when somebody, and in this case, we're talking about Jesus's transfiguration. Jesus's transfiguration. His form, the way he appeared, changed. And we can find this, the transfiguration, in two parts of the Bible. It's quite a short bit, so we are going to read this. So if you have your Bibles with you, there's one version in Matthew chapter 17, verse 1 to 6, and also in Mark chapter 9, verse 1 to 3. I'm going to read the version in Mark. So if you do have your Bibles with you, you could turn to that, look up the book of Mark. It'll be quite a challenge, really, during this time of lockdown. Maybe you could learn the books of the Bibles, or you could learn, you know, just have a rough idea, really, of where the books of the Bibles are. In a proper Bible, you could make sure that you know that Isaiah is in the Old Testament and Colossians is in the New Testament, or things like that. You know, you could have that as a target. Some of the things I've read up about or I've listened to talking about what we can do in this lockdown period is to have a goal, to plan to do something that's tangible, that you can, and measurable, so that at the end of the lockdown period, you have something to show for what you've done with the time, because it can be very easy for one day to just roll into the next and or to get very fed up or bored of this time. But if you have something that at the end of the day you can say, well, I made this during the lockdown period, it can be very, very good. One of my friends, they made Play-Doh and they put the shape of their hands, and they've made it into like a memorial, which is something I want to do. I want my whole family to put maybe not paint, but I don't think we've got paint in the house, but you could draw the shape of your hand and draw around that, and then in the middle maybe put your name and then color that in to show, you know, something that you've done during this lockdown period. You could write around it some of the activities you have had to do or have had to learn. Right. So in Mark chapter 9, from verse 1, we're going to start from verse 2. It says, after 6 days, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him and led them up a high mountain, where they were all alone. There he was transfigured before them. His clothes became blazingly white, whiter than anyone in the world could bleach them. And there appeared before him Elijah and Moses, who were talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us put out 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah. He did not know what to say. They were so frightened. Then a cloud appeared and covered them, and a voice came from the cloud. This is my son, whom I love. Listen to him. Suddenly, when they looked around, they no longer saw anyone with them except Jesus. Right, so that was to verse 8. So that was verse 2 to verse 8 in the book of Mark, chapter 9. So there we see quite an unusual story, because this is not magic. The Bible doesn't do magic. This was something very different, and we don't hear of anyone else going through this process or going through an experience like this, of being transfigured. The only person it could really be similar to was when Moses was taken up to Mount Sinai, and he went up there to spend some time with God, and that was the time when God gave him the Ten Commandments. And when he came back down, he was up there for 40 days with talking to God, and when he came back down, his hair had turned white, completely white. And the Bible tells us that people couldn't look at his face because it was so bright, because he had been in God's presence. And here, similarly, we hear that Jesus' clothes were so white at that point that they were whiter than anyone, as if, you know, it was not bleach that made them white. It tells us they were whiter than if they had been bleached. They were radiant. They were shining. It was whiter than white. If that's easy to understand, it's not really, but I just want you to get the idea that this was such an unusual thing to happen. So, quite an unusual experience for the disciples to see. And Peter's character is quite interesting in the Bible in that he usually speaks before he thinks about what he's saying. And this case was no different. And he said, "Oh, I'm glad we're here because now we can build you a little house, Jesus, and we can build a little house for Moses and one for Elijah." As if he wanted to keep the situation the same. He wanted to stay in that place. He wanted to stay in that moment. He wanted to contain Jesus, contain Moses, and contain Elijah in one place and keep them there under this little shelter that he was thinking of building for them. And it sort of gives you the idea that he didn't want that experience to end. He wanted that experience to stay the same, and for Moses and Elijah and Jesus to all stay where they were. But that was not part of God's plan. So, you know, people just sort of brushed off what Peter said because, as the Bible says, that he was so frightened he didn't know what to say. So he just blurted out probably the first thing that came to his mind. So I believe that this changed the way the disciples looked at Jesus. It changed how they saw him. It changed their relationship with Jesus. So we can learn from that, really. We can take something away from that. Because I want to talk about what Jesus is and who Jesus is to us as individuals. Now, it's a bit challenging to find out what you think of Jesus right now because I'm not able to see you. We're not able to talk. In a normal Sunday school session, I would go around and I would ask for what Jesus means to you right now. You know, what you see him as being, whether you see him as being your Lord or your Savior, or just to get an idea of what your ideas of what Jesus is to you. Because I think at a young age, it can be difficult to actually get a good impression of who Jesus is. You might have heard other people talking about Jesus, and you might have a small idea yourself. Or you might even be very sure of who Jesus is to you, because maybe you have a real good and personal walk with Jesus. It's difficult for me to know. But everybody should have an idea of who Jesus is to them. And that's what I want you to think about. While I'm talking, think about what are your experiences with Jesus? What has he done that you have heard about or read about that gives you an idea of who Jesus is? It could be something your parents have told you, or something you read in the Bible or in a storybook or something, but just think about what Jesus means to you. And if someone were to say, "Who is Jesus?" what would you say? How would you respond? Because in the Bible, we find that there were times when Jesus asked the disciples that. And he would say, who do people say I am? Who do people say the Son of Man is? It's like Jesus was curious to see how his ministry was going, how people, what idea people had of him. He wanted to know what they thought, what the general public thought about him and how he was coming across. And I can definitely relate to that because, as I say, during lockdown, I'm not able to hold a normal Sunday school class. So I can't, I have no idea who is listening to these messages or how well they are being received, how helpful you are finding them. So it would be nice to get some feedback. It would be nice to get an idea of somebody saying, oh, I listened to this and I liked this about it and I didn't like this or I didn't quite understand that. And I hope that you listen with your parents because I think that would help to have someone to discuss things with. But for me, I am not getting any feedback. Nobody has sent an email to say, this is how it's going, or this is how my children are finding it, or the children themselves sending me an email to say, this is how we're finding it. So it's very difficult for me to get, I'm not getting any feedback at all. But, and Jesus, I can, as I say, I can understand how he felt in sort of saying, what are people saying about me? What are people saying about my teachings? Who do people think that I am? And when he asked that, the disciples, you know, always told him the truth and said, some people are saying you're a prophet. Some people are saying that you're Elijah. Some people think that, you know, and they told them what people were saying about Jesus. And at that, Jesus would always ask them, but who do you say that I am? Who do you think I am? What is your impression of me? Because the disciples were with Jesus a lot. And they were getting a lot of information. They got to see Jesus a lot. They got to spend time with him. And he was interested in knowing how that was going. What they thought Jesus meant to them. And there were some disciples that thought that Jesus was coming to fight the Romans, that as the Messiah that had been talked about in the Old Testament, he was going to come and set them free from the Romans ruling them. And he was going to come and start up a government that would take over from the Romans, and Jesus would be at the head of that government, that he might even be a king. And they were expecting, you know, that Jesus would start an army and that he would start fighting the Romans to set the Israelites free, to set the Jewish people free, and that they wouldn't have to pay taxes, that they would get their money back from the Romans and things like that. And there are some ideas that that is why Judas found it so easy to give Jesus to the Romans because he was expecting that Jesus was going to fight the Romans and that Jesus would win and then they wouldn't have the Romans ruling over them anymore. So Jesus was quite a different idea. The disciples had to change their mind. They sort of had to see Jesus in a new light, which was where the transfiguration comes in to here. Because they had to see him as a savior, but not one who comes with a sword and with an army to fight. They had to see it in a different way. The Pharisees and the Sadducees, these were the people that used to teach in the church. Maybe like our priests or Sunday school teachers. And they thought that Jesus was coming to turn the people against them. That Jesus, the way he was teaching was so different to the way they had been teaching. And they were threatened by this. And they thought that Jesus was going to have people following him instead of following them. And they saw life in one of two ways. Either people would follow them or people would follow Jesus. They couldn't see Jesus as someone they could work with. They saw him as the enemy almost. They saw him as somebody who was talking against their ideas. And that was not what Jesus wanted. Jesus wanted them to... Jesus was coming to do what the scriptures they had been teaching had been talking about all along. In the Bible, he tells us that, he says, I have not come to destroy what you are teaching. I've come to add to it, to fulfill it, to show you that what you were teaching is now happening. And they just couldn't get their heads around that. They just couldn't see Jesus in this new light. So today I'm asking you to see Jesus in a new light, to see him in a new way. Maybe not as bright and brilliant and as if his clothes have been bleached, but I want you to see him in a new way. And I'm asking you, who do you say Jesus is to you? I want you to think about it in a very personal way and to think, what have you heard and seen about Jesus? And what does that mean to you? Because the faith that we have, our belief in God and our belief in Jesus, has to be a personal thing. You can't rely on what Jesus has done for other people. And you can't go by what you have heard he has done. You have to have your own testimony, your own thing that you say that Jesus did for you. It's a personal relationship. And I want you to think and pray about that, because Jesus wants to be your friend as an individual. He wants to relate to you. He wants to talk to you, and he wants you to talk to him. He wants to teach you about him. It's one-on-one. It's not about a class thing. It's not about, you know, Jesus talking to everybody, which he does, but he very much wants to talk to you as an individual. And he wants to be your personal friend. It's all fine and good to think that Jesus is there for the whole church and the whole world, and that is true. But he wants to talk to you. Imagine if Jesus was sitting down with you, like in a picnic or something, and he wants to be your friend. What would you talk about? What would you tell him about? And what would he tell you? Because as a conversation, it goes two ways. You say something to Jesus, and he says something back. So that's really what I wanted to point our attention to, that our relationship with Jesus has to be on a one-to-one basis. It has to be a personal thing that we go through. It can't depend on what your parents have gone through or brothers or sisters. It has to be something that you go through with Jesus. It has to be a personal relationship. So I hope that gets you thinking about what you can do to improve that relationship with Jesus. So that if someone asks you, you can say, Jesus is my friend, and this is how I know. You can say maybe that he talks to you, or that you can feel his presence, or that you know he is there. One of the ways I know that Jesus is there is that he gives me so much joy. He helps me to enjoy my life. So even when they said about the lockdown being extended by 3 weeks, I was not unhappy about it. It didn't make me feel miserable or anything like that. I was okay with it because I know that Jesus is my friend and he is with me. And whatever life throws at me, or whatever happens in my life, I know that Jesus is my friend. I have moments when I can say, I know he did this for me, and I felt his presence, or I felt his peace. And it's a special kind of peace, because it's a peace that doesn't change the situation. The problems have not gone, but I still feel happy and I still feel good, even though I'm still in that problem sort of thing. And I still have some things that I need to sort out. But I know that Jesus is with me, and that really makes me feel happy. So, so I hope that at the end of this, or maybe after you've thought about it a bit more, you will be able to say that Jesus is your friend, and you will have your own personal examples of what makes you think that. But if you do want to get in touch and let me know what you're thinking, what you're feeling, I'll be really, really happy to hear from you. And you can send an email, or you can ask your mom and dad to help you send an email to youth@sbc-church.org.uk. It'll be lovely to hear from you. But before we finish, let's just pray together. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for coming down to earth and dying for us so that we can have a good and personal relationship with you. Thank you for all that we learn from the Bible and the things that can help us to apply this to our lives. I pray for everyone who's listened today, Lord, that you help them to understand more about the transfiguration, and even to read Mark chapter 9, verse 2-8 for themselves to try and get a better understanding of it. And I pray that what we have shared today helps them to grow closer to you and to think what you mean to their lives and how you can help to make their lives better. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So do take care, and I'll speak to you at the next broadcast, I guess. God bless you. Bye.